crucifixion was instituted by the ancient Persians around 500 to 400 BC. It seems then that Alexander the Great introduced the practice in Egypt and in Carthage. The Romans then learned crucifixion from the Carthaginians. Although the Romans did not invent crucifixion, they perfected it. They perfected it as a form of torture, a form of capital punishment that was designed to produce a slow death with maximum pain and suffering. Crucifixion is probably the most painful death ever invented by humans. The English word excruciating is derived from the word crucifixion, acknowledging it as a form of slow, painful suffering. The Apostle Paul had many things to say in the New Testament about crucifixion. Just for an example, let us consider just one chapter in one of the letters which Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I bring your attention to verse number 17, where Paul wrote, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void." Verse 18, he said, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Verse 21 and following, he wrote, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." In another passage written by Paul, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20 that Billy read for us just a few moments ago, Paul stated something that we need not miss at the very end of that verse. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me." Christ gave Himself up for me. Christ gave Himself up for each and every one of us. The question this morning I want to ask is, what did He give? Turn with me to John chapter 19. We're going to be there for the majority of our study this morning. So you may want to mark it. We'll look at a few other passages outside of John 19, but John 19 is where we're going to be for most of our study. John chapter 19 and verse number 1. "Pilate then took Jesus and scourged Him." Christ gave His back to be scourged for me. A flogging was a legal preliminary to every Roman execution. The instrument that was used in these whippings was a short whip with several single or branded leather thongs of variable length, in which small balls of iron or sharp pieces of sheep bone were tied at different intervals. Some scholars say that the pieces of metal or sharp spikes were also used in these instruments designed for punishment. The Romans, as I said, perfected the things concerning the crucifixion. And as part of their perfecting of this designated design of punishment, they devised three forms or three patterns of the brutal act of scourging. The first form was used to beat a prisoner as a form of punishment that would often accompany a stern warning against any repetition of such an offense. The second form of scourging was used to extract a confession from the prisoner. And finally, there was that form of scourging that was used in the case of crucifixion. It was used to weaken the victim so that he would die more quickly once his body was put upon the cross. In the case that we have in John chapter 19 and verse 1, the Gospels do not provide us with any specific statements concerning the severity of the punishment used on Jesus. We know that the Jews had a limit placed upon the number of lashes one could receive in a scourging. The Romans had no such limitations. It was truly left to the one in whose hand the whip was. Although the Gospels do not provide that specific statement, a study of the ancient Greek text of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 indicates that the scourging of Jesus was particularly harsh. We're going to look at 1 Peter 2 verse 24 a little further in a later lesson. But indeed it was the case that Christ gave His back to be scourged for me. John chapter 19 and verse 2. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, and they put it on His head, and a purple robe on Him. Christ gave His head to wear a crown of thorns for me. The thorn plant that was used to make that crown of thorns, which was placed upon the head of Jesus, is believed to be a plant by the scientific name of Euphorbia mela. It's better known, or also known by other names, as the crown of thorns, the Christ plant, the Christ thorn. The plant is a low-growing, heavily branched, woody shrub with oval-shaped leaves and dense, purplish-brown stem that is covered by many sharp, spiny thorns. While the crown of thorns was exceedingly painful, it was more about mockery than it was about pain. In the previous chapter of John chapter 18, it is recorded that as Jesus stood there before Pilate and Pilate was questioning Him, he asked Him a question about being king. And there Jesus acknowledged the fact that He was indeed a king. The Roman soldiers used a symbol of royalty and turned it into something painful, something degrading, in order to mock Christ. Christ gave His head to wear a crown of thorns for me. John chapter 19 and verse 3. And they began to come up to Him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give Him slaps in the face. Christ gave His face to be slapped for me. The prophet Isaiah foretold of Christ being slapped and the hairs of His beard being pulled out of His face. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 6. "I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting." Christ had taught His disciples to turn the other cheek, and He practiced it perfectly. He practiced what He preached. We see the great example of this in John chapter 18, leading up to this occasion of His crucifixion. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 19. And the high priest then questioned Jesus about His disciples and about His teachings. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. And I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the officers standing nearby struck Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongfully, testify to the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Skipping down to verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. And it was early. And they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." And the Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death, to fulfill the word of Christ which was spoken, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die." Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this of your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answering, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And he said, and as he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." Mockingly put on trial. Mockingly placed before many who would question his doings and his teachings. Jesus chose at times to remain silent. At other times he chose to answer their questioning with a question. They knew the answers. They chose not to accept those answers. Jesus chose then to give his face to be slapped for me. John chapter 19 and verse 17. They took Jesus therefore and went out bearing his own cross to the place that is called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Christ gave his shoulders to carry the cross for me. He carried the instrument of his own punishment. The weight of an entire cross would weigh somewhere between 300 and 400 pounds or more. obviously, it would be too heavy for anyone to carry or to drag any distance. Studies in Roman crucifixion tell us that only the crossbar was carried. The crossbar itself weighing between 75 and 125 pounds. For us to recognize why Jesus would fall beneath the load of the cross, we must back up. We must back up to the events of Thursday and see the duration of this 12-hour period between 9 p.m. Thursday and 9 a.m. Friday. Jesus had suffered great emotional stress, as was witnessed there in the garden. He was abandoned by His closest friends, the disciples. He experienced a physical beating, scourging. Also in the setting of a traumatic and sleepless night, He had been forced to walk more than 2.5 miles to and from the various sites of which He was on trial. Even in His weakened condition, Jesus carried His cross as far as He could carry it. Every step that He took, He took for me. Christ gave His shoulders to carry the cross for me. Psalm 22 and verse 16 prophesied of Christ, "For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Christ gave His hands and His feet to be nailed for me. Some scholars say that the feet were placed one on top of the other with one spike strategically placed to fasten both feet to the upright post of the cross. In 1968, scientists for the first time discovered the remains of a man that was crucified during the era of Jesus. The victim was nailed to a cross in a sitting position, both legs over sideways, with the nail penetrating through the sides of both feet just below the heel. The arms were outstretched, each stabbed with a nail in the forearm or the wrist. And although the scriptural references are made in which the nails were nailed into His hands, these were not at odds with the archaeological evidence, the wrist wounds that were found on the victim, since the ancients customarily considered the wrist to be a part of the hands. It should be noted that the Romans were not always uniform in their method of crucifixion. So the nails were placed at various places at various times. But although the feet could have been affixed to the side of the heavy, permanently located upright wooden post on which the crossbar would be secured, or the feet could be attached to a wooden footrest, the feet were usually nailed directly to the post of the cross. For 6 hours, Jesus hung on the cross that Friday from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. Christ gave His hands and feet to be nailed for me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds we were healed. I said earlier that a study of the ancient Greek text concerning this passage, specifically the words wounds, demonstrates that the scourging which Jesus received was a very harsh and cruel scourging. The crucifixion itself, being nailed to the crossbar and then to the upright post of the cross, was very painful. But Christ gave His body to be crucified for me. As He hung on the cross, the weight of His body pulled down on the diaphragm, and the air moved into His lungs and remained there. The skin of His body was opened by the scourging. The tissues just under the skin were torn to pieces. The skeletal muscles probably began twitching. The crown of thorns first placed on His head and struck with a reed. A robe was mockingly placed on Him, then removed, reopening the wounds from the scourging. As He was attached to the crossbar of the cross, His wounds would become subject to contamination with the dirt of the earth. Then lifted above the earth, the crossbar would be put in its proper place. His feet then were nailed in their place. He had to push up on His nailed feet, causing even more pain in order to exhale. In order to speak, air must pass over the vocal cords during exhalation. The Gospels note that Jesus spoke 7 times from the cross. Already in much pain, Christ pushed up on those nails in His feet. His scourged back, wrestling up against the cross. And amazingly, despite His pain, He pushed up to say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. To one of the thieves who was being crucified alongside Him, He said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 43. He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to His disciple, "Behold your mother." John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. He asked, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27, verse 46, and Mark chapter 15, verse 34. He used a single breath to say, "I am thirsty." John 19, verse 28. With a breath, He declared, "It is finished." John 19, verse 30. Before breathing His last, He said, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." Luke 23, verse 46. Then He breathed His last. Jesus the Christ loved until the end. He loved His Father. Thus He was obedient to Him. And in His love for you and me, Christ gave His body to be crucified for me. John chapter 19 and verse 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Christ gave his side to be stabbed for me. A soldier pierced Jesus' side to assure that he was dead. Blood and water came out, John 19, verse 34, as we have just read, referring to the watery fluid that would be around the heart and lungs at this point in time. But this act was done by a cruel man whose task it was to make sure that the one who was hung upon a cross was indeed dead before his body was removed. Christ gave his side to be stabbed for me. Christ gave his life for me. Look with me at the words of a hymn. It's number 354 in the Songs of Faith and Praise, the song books that are before you. It's titled, I Gave My Life for Thee. The words read, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. 1 Peter 2:24. He gave it that we might live to righteousness. He is then portrayed as asking the question, what hast thou given for me? What have you given for Christ? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wanderings sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? Have you left anything for Christ? The pleasures of heaven, he gave up. He gave up for you and me that he might come to this earth. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, a bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? Have you suffered for Christ? Has there been any persecution that you have endured? Any suffering? And I have brought to thee, down from my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? What have you brought to Christ? He's really asking, as we ask today, will you give your life for Christ? One must hear the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. It's a message of His love, a message of what He gave up for each one of us. We are to believe the things that His Word teaches about the Father, Hebrews 11:6, and about His Son, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We are to repent of sins, Acts 3 and verse 19. Confess faith in Christ, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 22, verse 16. The sins of which put Christ on the cross. Those who have given their life to Christ, hopefully they recognize the magnitude of such a decision, that in their giving of their life to Christ, they have chosen to live their life upon this earth for Him. Galatians 2 and verse 20. For I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Christ gave His back to be scourged, His head to wear a crown of thorns, His face to be slapped, His shoulders to carry the cross, His hands and His feet to be nailed, His body to be crucified, His side to be stabbed for you. I gave it all for thee. What hast thou given for me? This morning, we have a wonderful opportunity. Having heard the message of the cross, to respond to that message and to answer that question, what hast thou brought for me? Will you bring Him your life as together we stand and as we sing?